Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the Human Turret himself, the world champion, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got the multi-champion, some of the best analysis in the game. Give it up for Christopher Duarte, a.k.a. Parasite. We got the multi-world champion, multi-champion, legend icon to the Call of Duty space. Give it up for Patrick Price, a.k.a. Aches. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank. Give it up for the one and only, Benjay Nassim. Gentlemen, what's going on, man? How you guys doing? How you guys feeling? It's been about a week since we last regrouped and talked about some of the shit that's been going around the CDL. Because there's a lot to talk about, guys. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, but Tom, today was one of the rare days in the Midwest where it was like 60 degrees today. Normally it's like 30 degrees. I actually got out and played golf.
Right? That's nice. I saw you had the stream up too. How's the golfing stream been doing? You were golfing with Nameless today.
Yeah, I was golfing with Nameless, my friend Swede, my friend Ben. It was good. I mean, it was super windy. It was like 20 mile an hour winds.
We all know Swede. We all know Swede, right? I think we all know Swede in here. I love Swede.
Swede's an OG of the COD scene.
Yeah, he's an OG, man.
Well, yeah, no, it was good.
We had a
good
people thought Swede was a COD burner.
Yeah, really I remember that. I was Swede was definitely not the COD burner, though.
Like, I'm the COD burner. Yeah. Fike's the COD burner. Swede's the COD burner. Like,
I was on the Ben. I was on the Ben for a little bit there.
Oh, you were on to me. Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, don't say it like that. Come on, what's wrong with you?
All right.
Okay. Listen, let's regroup. Sam, how you doing? I saw that you're number one in all of ranked play.
Best Call of Duty player on the planet, according to the ranked leaderboards.
Sam, that is crazy, bro. Number one? How much you been grinding, bro? You've been playing with Colt, too, huh?
Yeah, like 8 hours, 8 hours a day. It's nothing crazy. Yo, Chris, what rank are you?
So how does that work if you're all like going third? For number one?
You're third?
I don't think Colt's actually pursuing number one actively, I don't think anyone is. He said this year.
That is crazy.
I'm not either.
Yeah. I have like a fake rank one.
Sam, I'll pass you overnight, and then you can have it again in the morning when you wake
up. Sure.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Bro. Yeah, so I'm the best Call of Duty player on the planet.
So you have number one right now, Sam. And when you go to bed, is Chris going to get number one? And then he's going to take his picture? And then you're going to tweet out that you're number one in the world,
I think I'm
Chris?
Just going to tweet every day that I'm number one after I take it back.
I don't tweet that. I don't care.
Okay.
I did it the first day, but that was
not my bad, bro.
Also, I'm getting poked by a Shotzi in the TeamSpeak saying, drag to the channel, please. The only problem is this Shotzi or is this MC?
It's got to be MC. Bro.
Oh, no, maybe.
No, it's not MC because MC's down there.
No, it's actually Shotzi. Does he actually want into the channel on the flank? Does he want on? Let me
it
ask.
It might not
him.
Be Shotzi, though.
Let me just, I don't know. That's weird. Unless maybe he thought I was playing ranked, but he might not even know we're doing a flank right now.
No, it isn't. Hey, Ant.
Yo, we're in the middle of a flank, Ant.
Oh, no. I'm saying drag to Scott's channel.
You need to drag to the other channel? Oh, no problem, man. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today in the flank, man. We appreciate it.
Yo, have a good show, bro.
Hey, take it easy. Take it easy.
Appreciate it.
Thank
appreciate
you, bro.
It.
User was moved out. All right.
Right. Shotzi, right ladies and gentlemen.
Shotzi, ladies and gentlemen. Shotzi. Let's fucking Shotzi. There he goes. It's been an absolute pleasure having Jesus him. Everybody Christ. Give a round of applause for Shotzi. He took my spot with my rank play squad.
Actually, drag him back in here and ask him about his play style.
Nah, hell no. That's sort of whole. We're not starting that convo right now. We're not starting that convo.
So to go back to what you were talking about. So because this whole, like, we don't know if people are MC or not. Adam, who kind of runs the TeamSpeak, has made a special, like, status for MC. Do you know when he joins, if he's got a special icon next to his name, you're getting trolled?
Well, that's nice. Good to know, because I have been trolled by him for weeks, and he keeps getting me. He got me really bad the other day, pretending to be Scrappy, and I really thought it was Scrap. But, hey, shout out to MC. Pat, how you doing, Pat? You been playing any ranked play or no?
Yeah, I'm number one, Tom.
Oh, right now. You're number one slay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen you on the score. I don't think I've been seeing you on the scoreboard.
It's a different gamer tag, of course, Tom, but, you know.
That cannot be true.
That's why I was running a little late today. I saw Sam stop, so I wanted to take that number one spot from him. I did.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been grinding.
That's crazy, bro.
Is that you,
that's
God
crazy.
Bowser?
Yeah, that's got that God Bowser. Is that you? Let's lock in. We got a lot to talk about today. Chris, we got to you, right, Chris? We got to you. Talking about your number three.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm chilling.
How's the gym grind going, Chris? How's the gym grind going?
Gym grind's good. Listen, I'll never miss an opportunity to talk about the gym. Everyone's like, dude, stop tweeting about the gym. Listen.
It's positivity. It's good stuff, though. I feel like
I'm just trying to inspire people, bro.
I never judge anybody who posts positive shit. You want to post working out at the gym every day, you post working out at the gym. Fuck it. It's better than some of this negative shit that's going on.
It's a way to keep myself accountable. But honestly, I mean, I'm doing it for myself. But at the end of the day, I kind of want to inspire people, right? Like, if I can change, like, my whole appearance, even if it's going to take, like, another, like, year and a half, like, it's fine. Like, if I can do it, then hopefully I can inspire people.
Are you in Cali, Chris? Are you in Cali?
No, I'm in Texas.
Oh, you're in Texas right now? Okay, so nobody in here is in California. Apparently, there was an earthquake today And my girlfriend down the street from me was saying that she felt it and that it was crazy, and I didn't feel it, bro. I don't know, but shit.
Yeah, I was in a meeting, and there's a couple people on our team from LA, and they were like, oh shit, earthquake just happened.
There's a funny clip on Fox Sports 1, because I guess they were doing a show from LA, and their whole set started shaking. They were freaking out.
But how does
funny.
That work? My girlfriend lives down the street from me. How come she's feeling it and I'm not feeling it? What is it? Like, I was playing.
Because you were too locked in, I guess.
Was I that locked into rank? But there's no shot.
You might have been locked in a real hardpoint.
Nah, Tom, I think it's just your condo, bro. Great. It was a great, great bro, building that you got there.
It could be. It could be. Because it is a newer building. So that could be a big thing.
I was in Cali my whole life growing up, and I, like, rarely felt any of them. But I probably caused a couple when I, like, got out of bed.
Jesus
too, so.
Christ.
Asim said I'm faded.
Earthquake.
Bro. Yeah.
Asim said I'm faded. That's how. I feel like if I was faded, I would notice it even more. Like, I'd start tweaking. But... I don't know. Very, very weird stuff. If you're in the California area, hopefully everything's okay and you're safe. But let's move on. There's a lot to talk about, guys. First thing on our radar, I was pretty vocal about this when everything was kind of dropping, but we changed up the map pool going into stage two. I'm going to switch on over. This is what we're looking at. So it looks like for Search and Destroy, Rio, which is a new map, will be in, and Skid Row will be removed from the map set. And then for Hardpoint, Rio will be in, and Terminal will be removed. Definitely not mad at any of those changes at all. I think Rio's a great map. Like, Rio plays really well in all game modes. I don't know. What about Control? Has anybody played Control on Rio? Is it ass?
No, it's actually really good, but teams don't want to play it.
What do you mean, Sam?
I've watched, like, probably four-ish games of it, and, like, the spawns are pretty good. Like, offense and defense are relatively, like, even if you play it correctly. But
why wouldn't the pros want to play it?
Because there's a lot of people that have been said sources that people are voting biasly to not put it in. So, I think the Rio control is not happening.
I hate to hear it, bro.
I mean, why don't we just fucking call them out and just make this shit public? Who's not vote? Like,
I don't know who the actual people are. My sources didn't tell me.
Yo, Scrappy. Hey, welcome to the Flank. I got a question for you. What's going on with Rio and the veto process and all this shit? What's going on? It's not, you guys aren't playing Rio Control. You guys don't fuck with it.
Rio Control.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Have you guys scrimmed it?
Have you scrimmed it? Yeah.
We might have. I don't remember.
Why don't you guys? Sam was saying he's been watching it and it plays out really well. I mean, Control is a snooze right now. You guys don't want to get Rio Control in there? I mean, it's a great map.
I mean, yeah, I'm down, I guess.
You down? I thought there was a voting.
Toronto
Sam, I thought
down.
You said,
need 11.
Toronto's down. All right, we need 11 more.
I don't know. We never played it. I actually don't remember.
Yo, AG, welcome to the Flank, bro. Are you down for Rio to be in Rio Control? Are you down for that?
Or, wait, control. Did we test Rio, AG?
Thanks,
I don't remember.
I can't remember, honestly.
How the fuck don't you guys remember this shit? You never played Rio Control?
I'm spawning up and playing, and then I go
I don't think we've tested it.
We haven't tested it?
No, we played it once. Holy actually, we played it once.
So, are you down to put it in the map set, AG? You down to put it in here?
I don't know. I don't have enough info on it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, me neither. That's what I'm saying.
So, play. Why don't you guys play it?
I think we test.
What do you want me to do right now?
Get your team on and fucking scrim it.
Tomorrow in scrims, just add it into the rotation and just play it. It'll take 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
I think it was, I think the map, like,
we did try it.
I'm pretty sure someone was wrong with it. I think one of the points was dog shit. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, Sam, you said the map was good.
The points are dog shit.
Come on, bro.
I actually don't know.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, the points are top mid, like all, like where P1 is, like just the whole top middle, and then the other points outside of garage where Wave In is.
I have a question, and this is in like no way being like from a hater perspective, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's obviously nothing against AG and Scrap in particular. Like this is a generic statement, but am I wrong to say that like the IQ, not the COD IQ, not the game sense, just like the IQ, like the actual IQ of today's era pros is like drastically lower.
I'm talking about everybody
like from a, like all the entire league, not like one or two people, the whole league is what I'm saying.
The whole league, like you just think as an
Everyone's
average
stupid.
You think as an average the IQ has gone down, is that what you're saying?
Drastically, yes, Tom.
He said no disrespect and throws daggers.
You guys are all fucking idiots. No disrespect, of course.
Yeah, like everybody's saying drag. Listen, I'm not gonna randomly just drag people like that and just force them on a show, but I just had a question. I was just curious if they played since they're in here. I'm just curious. Because if they haven't played Rio Control, Sam, it doesn't seem like they played it much. I think both of them said I don't remember. Both of them said they can't remember. So I don't think they played it that much. I think that's a problem.
That is a problem. Because we have Invasion Control in the map pool.
Yeah, and exactly. And we see Invasion Control a lot. Yeah. A lot. Like, I don't know
how
much more.
The other two games are a W, though.
Yeah, it's a W. One thing I want to talk about is the new maps that are coming in, Vista and Departures. Here, I could probably pull them up so we could take a look at them. Apparently, those maps can't be added in for Stage 2, for the Stage 2 map set.
Is anyone surprised by that, though?
I was a little surprised by it because we didn't start the stage yet. No.
Yeah, but there's not enough time to like actually test the map and put it in and implement it. You know, 4 days before they start playing.
I mean,
you mean a week?
Well, now,
I had pros that were messaging me saying, "Yo, we
I know people want to play Vista.
Like, yeah, they want to play Vista. Like, not so much Departures. This is more on the Vista side.
Yeah.
But apparently Vista plays out really good based on what I have been being told from the pros, and I feel like
person I played it.
Yeah, and I feel like, bro, me personally, Sam, I feel like a few days is enough practice. Everybody's on an even playing field. It's a new map for everybody. You know, it is.
I'm not arguing.
You know, if people are uncomfortable with it, then you just veto it. You just get it out the pool.
By the time we get to the next stage, then more maps will be released, and then we might end up like having to like change even more maps. Like, I think they need to be added damn near as soon as like they're dropped. Like, unless it's like in the middle of a stage, like it doesn't matter if it's fucking a week or, you know, 2 weeks or a month or whatever. Like, we just need to like get these maps in because the map pool is suffering.
I love the layout of this map.
Yeah. It's nice. Vista's good, dude.
I think the only thing with Vista search is that A point is very exposed. Like, it is, if you plant on the out, I don't know how you guys feel. But the outer rail on Vista, you can literally see that bomb.
Yeah, no, that bomb side sucks. Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think
I think it's strictly a hard point map.
I don't think it's a hard point map. Do you want what a map it reminds
me
of?
You don't think it's a search map?
Or a really? Hard search map.
You guys talking about Vista?
Vista kind of reminds me of like throwback in a way. I guess maybe it's just that bridge area. Like, it reminds you of a throwback like type of like layout.
Map's good though.
It looks like a good layout. What don't you guys like about the bomb site? The A bomb site.
It's just literally you play in the top mid and you can see it from fucking everywhere.
It's an open railing, Tom. Like, it's not like a closed railing, so you can play any corner around there.
You said they would have moved the site. I mean, could you see it being used if they moved the site? It looks like a good layout, at least from.
I think so.
If
they put the bomb like on the bottom of the ledge, maybe.
Bro, Departures actually not even a bad map too.
Departures is right here. So this is Departures here. This looks big though.
It's not as big.
Okay.
I timed it. It took like what, like 30 seconds to run across one side of the map to the other.
You said it was like 27 or something like that.
Yeah, this map looks cool too. This map looks dope.
So to explain, I guess, why this and Departures are not being added in. Apparently, the deadline for CDL players and the CDL to figure out what maps were coming in and out of the pool for Stage 2 was the night before Season 2 releases, which seems kind of backwards. And then, Spencer Peterson from the league kind of explained some of the logic from their side of like, you know, we want to make sure with the Challengers Cup coming this weekend that they would be more impacted than the pros would on a map pool response, which means like, why wouldn't you just sort of delay it a week? I feel like there's a lot of spin going on here. And to be honest, wasn't a lot of great management on the Activision side, knowing that there are these new maps coming in, they're competitive. Why would you not want to set a deadline? We can get those maps immediately so people start playing the game. Like,
they should literally just not have it for this first Challenger Cup this weekend, and they should have added it.
That's
for the
a horrible
league.
Excuse.
Like, it's not hard to do it.
I don't
like,
understand.
The Challenger players can just
it.
Not play it. Like,
and,
it doesn't matter.
And on top of that, like, bro, the fucking game changed like a couple days before Boston for the Challenger players, at least from the Activision, like the game side. Like, I get it. They can't control it because they're releasing patches for the public, but I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't actually care if it's
and wait hold on yeah wait hold on pool. What they care about Challengers now?
Yeah, like, I'm very confused it, as to,
been,
to like kind of have like the, trying to have them hand in hand, because I was also talking to Clay because I was playing ranked play with Clay, and he was telling me that they want to keep the same thing, like they want to keep ranked play the same as what the pros are playing. That's what Clay was saying. But I was like, why? Like, why does it need to be the same? If anything, they can always add it into ranked play eventually.
Wait, Tom, that backs up the argument of the fact that they should have timed this better, because literally a day later, two maps that are good for competitive theoretically dropped in. And they could have put him in rank play. If it didn't work, take him out, so be it. But like, they missed a real marketing beat here to like get these maps added in for competitive and for rank play. Like
the way the league and the patches are structured, it's like we're always a patch behind. Like yeah. we're gonna add these maps when the next set of maps come out. And like for all we know, the next set of maps could be better than the current maps and even the maps that they added with season two. And we're not even gonna get to play them. We're pretty much gonna be towards the tail end of the season at this point. Like we need to.
Yeah, I reached out behind the scenes. They didn't really go anywhere, but I was trying to just find answers as to why they didn't want to add it in. And some of my advice was to them too was that, listen, we had a 6-month off season. We came back, we played, we had another 3 weeks off, holiday break or whatever. We come back, boom, major one's over, have another 2 weeks off, Super Bowl here. Just feel like that the league has definitely, like, the energy around it just feels so, like, stale right now. I felt like adding more maps would just make it more exciting. It would just make it, it would freshen things up a little bit. In my opinion, I think it would freshen things up.
Bro, if I'm being honest, I don't think that they thought that these maps were going to be usable. I genuinely think that, like, people were hyped about Rio and they, like, knew that there was like some sort of competitive viability there, and I don't think that they had any idea about Vista or Departures.
Literally in the marketing tag, like when they released like kind of flavor text about all the changes coming into season two before the patch notes dropped, they talked about how competitive Departures was. They had this gift wrap. They had the perfect situation gift wrap for everybody involved. These maps that could be good for competitive timed up with a break in between stages, and they fumbled the bag on it.
You want they should be doing, and I don't know if they'll ever do it or if they're just worried about like not leaking, but like maybe it's like a marketing thing. What, you know, like there's a CDL client, right? Why doesn't the CDL client get an update with the new maps before they drop to the public, so that way pros can test them, so that way they're pre-tested. And then the season comes out, it's like, okay, we added the new maps into ranked. We added the new maps into the CDL. The pros already scrimmed them. Why are they not added to the pro client?
That's a great idea, Chris.
Yeah, I just realized that. When they have a separate client, you may as well just add it in there and just let them test it early.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
You would think, Chris, but...
I mean, Call of Duty has never done public test... What? Every game, every PC game ever has been doing public test servers for forever.
I'm talking about for COD, where it's
but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a private test server. It's the exact same thing.
It's a CDL client. Every matches.
But all it is just a public test server. Games have been doing that forever. Call of Duty has always refused since the beginning of time.
COD has done some version of it, but it's more just for rules, like they did this year with the outlines. You know, I was on a developer call on Monday. And we haven't talked about the health regen changes, but originally their plan was to actually do a test server with that. But they decided, you know, we're just going to roll the change live. And if we need to fix it, you know, we fix it because we think people are going to like it. So to your point, though, it just seems like, bro, they had a perfect opportunity here where it all lined up. And they just fumbled the bag completely on their side. I'm very confused kind of how this all fell apart.
Yeah, and it sucks because now we got to watch a whole stage. And granted, there are some positives. Rio's getting added into the rotation. I thought that was like there are W's coming from the new map set. There are some W's, but I just would have liked to see more personally. I would like to see more. And I don't understand the deadline. I just don't get it. I feel like a deadline can easily be overruled. No, just overruled. Like, just overruled.
100%. Because look, here's my thought process: we look at Hardpoint map war right now, like. They made some bad changes to Invasion. You could argue with Rio now and Terminal out that Invasion's like the worst map in the pool. You could have replaced that with one of these, and we'd have a pretty good map set. And then S&D side.
This game just needs the Cold War treatment, bro. Like, every map needs to be replaced. They're just like actually two maps that are like actually decent, and I think one of them's like Karachi Hardpoint, and then what else do we have? I'm like trying to remember all Skid the maps. Row. Skid Row? Yeah, Skid Row has one hill problem, but every other, like, dude, Subbase... fucking abysmal. Invasion, abysmal. Obviously Terminal was terrible. But by the time like we get all these issues, like by the time we get to champs, like we might actually have the best maps that we will probably ever have. Yeah. Hopefully if we actually, you know, keep making these changes and keep pushing for them. But this game just needed the Cold War treatment. It sucks that we have to wait to get the best version of the game because of something stupid like a deadline. Like what?
Yeah.
And having bad maps couldn't be me.
And here's my last take on it. I think pros Listen, I think the pros give great feedback on these maps. They have a good feel for how spawn should work, how the flow of the game should work, and I think their feedback is great. But the process we have now where they sit in a DM group with the CDL and vote on maps getting in and out is a process rife with bias with making sure that people stay in the league and keep their spots, the team stay in champ spots, stay playing well. It is a bias process. It's not transparent. It's not doing right by the community. I think they made good decisions in what maps were removed during this process. I think you could argue Terminal SND, Skid Row SND, whatever. I think either way, both of them have to go. So I think they made the right call. But the process needs to be changed after this year. And you guys know my thoughts on that.
Even if, I think the CDL just needs to force changes. Like, if there's new maps, and even then, you can maybe even argue it's like good for marketing so that they would even have a more incentive to do it. But like, they should be like, okay, we want these maps added into competitive. Are they playable? Yes. Okay. And then just make people vote. And then the one with the lowest votes just gets out. Even if it's like maybe not the best solution because of bias, at the end of the day, we're still progressing and making some sort of a change. So, I mean, I don't know if there's ever going to be a perfect solution for that, Ben. Like, I know you're like sitting there saying that there should be a better solution, but like, what really is there? I mean, the only people that they can get feedback from are the ones that play the game full time and professionally, especially when adding maps into the league.
Which I understand, but I think it needs to be, you know, guys know my thoughts, bro. It needs to move out of a Twitter DM into a real committee with stakeholders, probably in the A's, whatever, but like, needs to be more transparent public structure process instead of people just like, I don't. Or the way these votes happen to DM, it's not a real-time vote either. People take their sweet-ass time over 2 days to vote for shit.
Well, so, yeah, imagine there was, like, real-life bias. Imagine there was, like, real-life bias for a map like Terminal Hardpoint and the community, like, knew about it. Like, there would be outrage. Like, you know what I mean? It definitely needs to be some sort of, like a committee-type thing, like, maybe even public. That way, like, at the end of the day, even though the pros are still making more decisions, there's definitely some public influence there because people feel a little bit more pressure to make better decisions.
I feel like the DM should just be like, yo, is the map good or bad? Everybody's gonna say good because the map is good, and be okay. Well, it's in. Just period. Just put it into the rotation.
To be fair, they should get real feedback on these things. If there are real issues, bug spawns, this hill should move. There could be real feedback combos, but the problem is just how that voting process works. We'll get to GAs in a second during the show. Like, it's just, you guys know my thoughts, man. We've been in esports long enough that like things should not be happening at like a high school level. We should be having more structure when we can get more structure. Yeah. So,
well, let's move on. I think when it comes to the map set, I mean, I was trying to message people behind the scenes, and based on the responses I was getting, it's looking slow. I don't, or lack thereof. Huh?
That or lack thereof a response.
Yeah. Or I just didn't get a response. But I mean, whatever, brother. I mean, they're obviously like, you know, they're not going to say everything. And I don't know, bro. I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't think it's changing based on what I was hearing. But let's move on. There's been some talks about GAs. There's been some new weapons. Scrappy and Dashy were actually going back and forth on socials. I mean, Dashy was the first one to say something. He said, no point to even get excited for new weapons anymore. Shit just gets insta-GA'd as soon as they spawn. Scrappy responded. He said, you're telling me that shit ain't busted, Brandon? Come on. Brandon responds, the MCW is literally better than both. What are we talking about here? Scrap said, holy fuck, we're blacked out. And Dashy said, please use 4 BPs against us on invasion. Scrappy responded, saying, gladly. Is the gun good or bad?
The gun's very good.
Okay, so this BP, if this BP was to be in the game, would we see 8 of them, Sam? What do you think?
I haven't used it in a competitive setting because, going back to our other conversation, they banned it in ranked immediately.
They banned it in ranked, and they told the pros to try it out. Like,
I don't know if the gun is like.
Why didn't they let
I don't
anybody
know if it's better than
it.
The MCW because the MCW is by far the best gun in this game.
I need to see the stats or like use it in pubs because I'm on the same to you. I didn't get to use it, but shooting in the firing range.
I know the gun
range,
is good.
It felt like potentially it was better than MCW. Like that's what it felt like when I shot it in the firing range. But obviously the firing range doesn't tell all. So.
As long as the MCW 4 bullets, nothing will change.
That's what I said. I posted a tweet today saying like, and I actually had a conversation with one of the devs say you'd pass on the feedback, and we'll see how that goes. They even said that they might like make some changes and put them in like a PTR, like because there's actually a playlist or something. It's like they did it. Do you guys remember when they did
red
like outlines?
Yeah.
So they might even make a playlist with some changes. But I told them they need to revert the handling changes of the MCW, and they just need to get rid. The last MCW was good. But they just need to get rid of that four shot multiplier, bro. That is the problem with MCW. It's not the fucking recoil. It's not the handling. It's the four shot, bro. It's literally why SMGs complain because they SMG runs in, gets up close, random headshot,
fire connects,
dead. Yeah. 4 bullet.
So how does the gun play out, Sam? It doesn't move, right? And it just it shoots.
The rate of fire is super high. So it's just like a fucking laser beam with, you just put like default attachments on it. Basically, yeah. You just copy the MCW class onto it.
I'll pull up the clip.
And it shoots super quick.
I think Brian Saint tweeted a clip. Or didn't somebody tweet a clip? I think it was Brian Saint.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cross kill on invasion.
Everybody practices that cross.
Yeah, that's not a good clip.
Yeah, I was like,
that was an L tweet by Brian.
What I had heard is that, so we haven't talked about the Ram 7, is another gun as well. It's a sub.
The Ram 9. Also,
Ram 9, sorry. That's also, you know,
still nice shots.
And I had heard that the combo around both guns started a couple, or, you know, when it started for GA, but the GA process has been slow. I don't know if there was movement. As of yesterday, I heard that, like, it wasn't official, was in or out. So, I know Dante's in the chat, and there's a couple of pros around. I don't know if the vote's completed, but there was conversation of a GA. It is banned in rank play, but obviously,
I hate that, dude.
The GA doesn't go through. Does it get unbanned in rank play? Who knows, you know?
Well, the GA, also, apparently, I don't know what's going on with the GA. My bad, Chris. I'll let you go next. I don't know what's going on with the GA, because last time I talked to Scrap was yesterday. I mean, I talked to him today, but yesterday we were talking about it, and he told me that it's not 100% GA'd yet, that it's still in the, it's still in the question, it's still being talked about, which is like, why would they even remove it from, like, bro, why would they remove it from ranked? Oh, it's gone, brother? Oh,
Dante said it's gone.
Dante in the chat, Sib from the New York Subliner said, it's gone, brother, it's gone. Which is okay, so it is GA'd. It's completely chalked.
Yeah, it's GA'd.
So my guess on why I got banned from rank play is they were,
I didn't even get to try it.
They were trying to get ahead of if the gun gets, they've said that they want to match the GAs and the bans effectively for rank play, like to be proactive. So I think they were trying to get a step ahead.
No way we got that. Easy red on whether we GA'd or not,
so
right?
That's what's going on here, but like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised they got GA'd, because, you know,
oh, of course, DLC guns are never used.
But pros, what about, have to try something new? Fucking RIP, bro. Well, the Ram 9 is good too, though.
I was going to say, they don't necessarily need to delete a headshot multiplier, but they can just do the Cold War thing where they need to make it so you have to hit three or four or two or whatever amount of headshots to reduce the time to kill by a bullet. Because
I feel
now
like you need
one.
A little bit of a headshot multiplier. Yeah, people will abuse certain spots and certain angles, and they'll be just unkillable. You know, where I feel, you know, they have to have something there. I just think right now, I agree, Chris. It's just tweaked to the max right now. Like you get imploded, especially if you hit multiple shots.
What about the Ram 9? Because like, Listen, I get that the AR, people might say it's in a weird spot. You know, some people might like it, some people might not. But like the Rival, there's no like alternative to it. And is the Ram 9 any good? Like, I didn't even like get to test it. I think
Shotzi talked about it a little bit.
Piz said that if people got used to it, then it was better than the Rival.
I was watching
when Joe, I talked to him yesterday.
I was watching Joe use it in a couple of scrims, I think yesterday, and like the range on it seems really, really good as a sub. Like,
yeah, the Ram 9 seems really nice.
So what happened with that? It got GA'd.
Is it GA'd yet, Dante?
But Dante's a for big AR. So,
yeah, Sib,
you know.
is the Ram 9 also a part of that GA as well? Is that gone? Because I heard Shotzi talking about it on stream, and he said that he likes it. But I thought Shotzi was saying that it is GA'd or that it's gone. I don't know. I thought I heard him say something that it might be GA'd. Pred said that he hates the gun. At least that's from somebody in the chat. So Master King.
AG hates all like new guns though. Every time he tests something, he uses it for like three lives and then says it's dog shit and then pulls the Rival back out. Because he tried the Striker when it got changed the first time.
Oh,
now he tried the Ram. Like he just always goes back.
The Ram is gone too. The Ram is out.
Oh, that's gone too.
The thing though. Yeah. Is the BP just that OP that the Ram 9 cannot be used? Like, why couldn't we like hypothetically go to a meta where people are using the BP and the Ram 9 and just forget about the old guns?
You would think, Chris, but unfortunately, you know how this shit goes, dude. Like, people try it, they get some crazy gunfights.
We just get a
pros,
three-gun meta,
gunny,
bro.
And then shit just fucking out.
A three-gun meta would be fire.
Please. Can't have a three-gun meta without a burst gun.
You don't think so, Pat?
Multiple three-gun metas.
IW was a three-gun meta with no burst.
Yeah, we had
So was BO4.
IW, NV4, K-Bar, ERAD.
So was BO4.
ICR,
that's
Maddox,
a little different, though. I genuinely don't think those three gun metas were that good in either one of them.
You don't
I didn't like the BO4 one, and I'll tell you why. The only reason the ICR was used was because of FMJ. And if FMJ was not in the game, that gun would have been fucking putrid. Because that Maddox was just better, and the SOG at the end of the game with the hit scan was absurd. But the ICR just had no flinch and FMJ, so you could just like wall bang people and like just get people off of spots and like just be really not like slay heavy, but just like deterring. Like you could just like make people just like not want to push. That was the only reason it was good, because of FMJ.
Yeah, and people didn't even use FMJ on it.
No, yeah, they did at the end. FMJ was used hella.
No, no, at the end of the game. I used FMJ the whole year and people were running fucking Quick Draw.
Oh, that's what I mean. If you were using Quick Draw, you were fucking scamming.
But regardless, three gun metas are good.
Yeah, I agree. It's
more
hard.
Guns, the
it's,
better, bro. Stop
it's
GAing
hard,
everything.
Though. Sam, it's pretty hard to get a three gun meta, I feel.
Well, yeah, because you just got to have, like, how it works is the main AR has to be really good, medium and far, and dog shit up close, and the sub has to be really good up close, and there needs to be, like, a good middle ground.
There also has to be a role for a main AR, and there's just not.
Dante in chat said that the Ram 9 was too OP, but he was pushing the BP50 along with the Rival and MCW, but they were basically saying it would never work because you can make a BP a fast class, basically a fast M4 and MW2. Okay, but like there was actually like wasn't there GAs to basically stop people from doing that? Why can't that be the case now? I get it, maybe people just don't want to do that again because it's just kind of annoying. But like hypothetically, if it can,
I mean, you also run into problems when you make a fast class. Doesn't the gun get worse? Does the gun get worse?
Recoil control.
Yeah, you get like recoil control and shit.
Also,
I mean, you know, it's just like one of those things that you gotta make your decision. Do you want to run a fast class and sacrifice, you know, some recoil and this and that? Like it depends. Like I feel like the gun wasn't even given a chance. But go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just gonna say if BO4 was 4v4, do you guys think it would have been a 3? I don't think the ICR would have been used.
ICR definitely would have been
now, the ICR was,
in 4v4?
Yeah, it doesn't matter about the fucking lives. People, there was 4v4 tournaments in the off season. I guess the off season, but people were still using the ICR and there was good players playing. So, I mean,
probably like one ICR, two mad ops, one
the,
sub.
The ICR was just good at like mad ops. Basically just ditch, like I said, it's just good at like just making sure that people don't like over push, or it's just like it's very, I can't remember the word. But like, for example, even in a 4v4 setting, you would still have somebody on frequency go to the head glitch on your side of P1 and just hold the iron with the ICR and just basically wall bang the fuck out of a guy if he peeks. Like that's just something that you couldn't do with the Maddox.
Well, it sounds like those guns are chalked. I mean, we're discussing it, but already just judging based on responses by Sibit, a chat. And Standy, who's also here. Standy said, I feel like there isn't a lot of trial time available. Also, matches start soon, so people could just want to avoid it. Yeah, but Standy, the thing is like, you guys are professionals, bro. You 1 or 2 days and you're good, bro. You'll be able to tell if the gun's good or not. You'll be able to use the gun, and you'll be fine. Like, I understand why pros would want to ignore it, but at the same time, man, like, think about the game, bro. Think about the esports. Just think about making it better, bro. At the end of the day...
Yeah,
professionals
even,
can get.
Yeah, even well, even outside of that stuff, bro. Like, is the game not stale? I mean, I feel like this game is stale. Like, just do it purely to make it more fun.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what that was my argument when I was texting Spence and Dan behind the scene. I was like, yo, like, you know, it can make it more fun. I said the same thing to Spence. I was like, it just make it. It'll refresh.
But even for the players, like not even the viewers, the players who are screaming.
It's also marketing. And also, listen, I get the pros can definitely do more. But this isn't all on them. And honestly, Sandy and any of the other pros in the chat that are watching, I would push and ask if it's a possibility to get the new maps added to the CDL client. It doesn't hurt to ask. If you can somehow get that to happen, for example, let's say Season 3 announces maps, right? Get them added in the CDL client, and then you can maybe like scrim them in your off time. I get it might be like counterproductive because you're in the middle of a stage, but like if you guys want to actually try to add them earlier, that way you get the testing phase done before the season is started, then you know things could actually
also
move forward a lot
also
quicker.
The biggest issue is no one votes from an objective standpoint in that stuff, and it's always been the case. Like, I mean, there's a few examples where teams that were the best teams like got rid of the OP gun, but like a majority of the time the teams that are doing good, like, they don't, why do they want to change shit up? You know what I mean? It's always, there's always a bias standpoint that goes to maps, that goes to mutts, everything.
Guns,
it's always been
that
way.
Shit. Yeah,
yeah. Literally every aspect that you can think of, it's always voted with bias, and that's always been a problem in all those chats. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I just think the solution to that is just, I'll be honest with you, I think it's stronger leadership on the publisher side, because I think the pros and the teams aren't going to go either way to like scrim these maps in their off time and all that stuff. As like as rosy as that sounds, I just don't see them doing it. But if they get told they have to do it and get feedback, the stuff can get in. It's great. I just think on the publisher side, they just seem to be stronger and being proactive about controlling the meta, controlling the map pool, and not letting the pros just kind of play politics around the stuff.
Yes, agreed. Also, Subbase is fucking dog shit. Somebody sent the chat, Subbase is garbaggio, and I agree with him. It's terrible. I mean, I've even
There's
talked...
literally two good hardpoint maps that were on release. And I'd say good, I mean playable. Like, bro, the listen, other ones are just terrible.
I'm still mind blown that that map was even added to the original pool.
Yeah,
in 2009, that map was terrible.
You just go top three every life.
Yeah, that map has always been... We didn't even give that map a second thought in 2009. I'm mind blown it got in today's game. Like,
bro, it was better in the last patch. And they also didn't, like... They didn't fix some. They made some of the hills worse, and they just didn't fix some of the other hills that were problems. Like P5, that P5 hill is probably one of the worst hills in the entire game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's you get trapped, like, and there's no way out. Like,
Sib said that LA Thieves and Texas Optic were the only teams to vote for DLC guns in.
Let's go.
So everybody, shout out to LA Thieves and my Optic, boys, man. Dude. Shout out to them, man.
Always
shout
count on my boys, man.
That's dope, man. I wish we could have seen some more guns, bro. I feel like more always guns count been on fun. My boys would have been fun, and some more maps, bro. Would love to see some.
That
more
really
guns
doesn't
and
surprise me though that it's those two.
Why, Pat?
Why?
LAT is the worst team in the league, right? They definitely want as much switch up as possible, and Optic knows they're steps behind the top two teams in the league, so they want a switch up. So to me, it really doesn't surprise me that those two teams. Are wanting to switch it up.
I don't know
again,
if I agree with that.
It speaks well, but I mean, it speaks to the point, Pat, which is even if they, you know, part of it is, yeah, they want to, you know, push things up. The problem is no matter how you slice it, people are going to vote based on the biases to make sure that they're not diminished or to increase their stature as a team and a player. And that's just the problem of what we got right now. I just, whether you're being implicit about your bias or not, it's always going to be there.
So you're saying, I guess that argument goes for both ends, Pat. I mean, that's what we're just talking about, right? Like, fucking, yeah. The top teams are just going to vote to not make any changes. But, I mean, Optic was a top three team.
I am surprised by, like, Rocker.
I don't know if that was their mindset, but.
Florida and all those other teams, LAG. Right.
Like, why didn't they vote for it, Pat?
Wow. Yeah.
I think the pros just need to stop looking at the game and making changes to their the map pool and weapons and stuff like that. From a selfish perspective, yes, I get that some people are just kind of good, they're comfortable, or they just don't want any like bullshit in the game. And there are, you know, weapons and there are maps, I guess, that shouldn't be added. But like at the end of the day, you got to keep the public intrigued. And the reason that like the CDL viewership and all that stuff is just going to diminish as the like season goes on. And the only thing that could potentially help it is one, better marketing. Yeah, sure. But also just like adding new shit to keep people intrigued, because at the end of the day, the people that play the game, if they're playing the game actively because there's something new, they're going to watch. They're more likely to watch.
Look at every other successful esport.
But like for example, as like ranked goes on, I get ranked is different. But as ranked goes on, if the pools map pool stays the same, if the guns are the same, people are going to be less inclined to play, bro, because it's just boring. It's the same shit every fucking day, and every season. Well, there's nothing to keep people from like. There's nothing to keep people there. You know, something new. We say this every year, but like, dude, people have got to look at it from a different perspective, man. It's sad.
I mean, every other esports cycle shit, like CS cycles their map pool, League has champion updates and new champs released, like Valorant has map changes, new maps added every now and then. Like, COD's the only game that's just stagnant.
Don't they just throw them in too? When those new maps come out, Sam, don't they just throw them in to the rotation, like deal with it, learn it?
Yeah, pretty much.
They don't even talk about, yo, is it good? No, this is.
I don't know
map.
The ins and outs of that, but I'm pretty
sure
it's like
they do make stuff almost that to is that extent. Meant for those. For a competitive, as their game is naturally a competitive game. So again, it's one of those things where there are certain things that should be added and there's certain things that shouldn't. But like if the developer,
game's just inherently competitive.
Bro, if the developer is making efforts to make more competitive maps and certain balance changes around gameplay and around the competitive scene, and we're not even like taking the time to use them. Bro,
I mean, bro, pros are saying they want Vista Hardpoint and that we should be fucking playing Vista Hardpoint.
Bro, they're gonna be less incentivized to do it in the future. If they're not gonna take their opinion serious, then what the fuck? Why would they even do it? You know what I mean?
So, like, we've had so many issues.
Abizi's in the chat as well, and he said Vista should have been tested immediately. That's what Abizi from Atlanta FaZe said. He said it should have been tested right off the get go, and I agree. Should have been tested immediately. And I think just by looking at it, like I said to Eli when he pushed the question, which he agreed with, by the way, it was just, you know, 1 or 2 days, and the pros should already know if it's a good map or not. It's pretty easy to tell. But yeah, anybody else got anything to say on that matter before we move on to Roster Mania? Because Roster Mania.
I was just tired. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just gonna add, like, you know, for X Defiant, we're gonna add our weapons and our new maps right away in seasons. Like as soon as they come out for casual, they'll come out in ranked. The only difference is, like, we'll take an approach of the maps that are we feel are more casual maps, we'll omit from the ranked playlist. I don't understand why that's not being done on the developer side.
Like, the thing that sucks too, W plug, by the way, the thing that sucks is, like, as the competitive community, we've begged and begged and begged for dev support, and now Sledge has been by far the best dev other than Treyarch. Yeah. Like, this year has been unbelievable.
The devs have been great.
The maps, bro, unbelievable. And now we're not even, they're literally handing us shit for competitive, and we're not even testing it.
You wonder what's a great way to test maps and add them to the public rank pool without punishing players, right? Let's say a map is, like, not favored, or people... maybe certain people don't like it, blah, blah, but without punishing those players and getting them to test it, what you do is you add it to the rank playlist and you give people SR for winning, but you don't take away anything for losses on those new maps. And you do that for X period of time. That way, people play the game, people play the map, they're incentivized to try, but if they lose because they feel like they're still learning the map, or maybe they just don't like it and they're waiting for it to get removed, then they don't lose anything and it doesn't punish the player. If they did that, that people
that's a horrible idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they lose, just take the points, bro. Just everybody's on an even playing field.
It wouldn't matter.
The map's coming out the same time for everybody.
You also, you also can't determine how many people are going to get the map or not, like, especially if there's map voting.
Okay,
like,
never mind. I guess that's a fated take, but I think it would literally make it so people feel less bad about playing a map.
Now, a lot of people agree on your take, Chris. A lot of
people should just play it. They shouldn't be worried about whether they're winning or losing SR. Like, it's a whole, you have a whole season.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get the map every time.
It wasn't that bad of a day, Chris. I mean, a lot of people were spamming Wag.
Some people like it. Some people,
you know what I mean?
I'll take it. Listen, man, I'll take it.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Roster Mania. Ben, I gotta take a swig of water. You take this one. Go ahead, Ben. It's Eli. Eli Standy. This one shocked the fucking world.
Yeah, so we'll start with the Las Vegas Legion. There's a lot to talk about here. You know, we were talking last week. We were like, why these guys not made a change yet? What's going on? I had heard, you know, basically immediately after Major 1, they're like, are we going to make a change? They were thinking at that point that, you know, because of stuff going on, the team that Sandy was the one that was going to rotate out, they had kind of informed him that it seemed like that was going to be the case, but they still scrimmed with him. And then basically what happened, I haven't gotten the full time on this, and maybe you know, Tom, basically, earlier this week, they played your academy team, and
it's
your
funny
academy
you say
team
that, Ben. It's funny
slammed
you say
them
that
bad, and then they immediately picked up one of your players.
I got it right here, Ben.
Bro,
I
don't even care about the Standy dropping. I don't care about the, what's his name, the guy they picked up?
Geo.
I don't care about that. I need to know what Purge has on this team. He must have some insane evidence. How is he on the team? This guy sucks.
I mean, Pat,
the worst player on the team. He's the worst player in the league.
What does he
have on these motherfucking guys?
I'm gonna have to agree with Pat.
I don't care if there's
in
game, out of game issue. He's the worst guy on the team.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't say exactly how Pat just said it, but I will say he has definitely been their underperformer, and he definitely needs to be replaced, I think. I think he should be replaced. I mean, unless they see something in him from practice, like, unless there's something behind the scenes
what
that they see in him. I don't know, Slab. Just maybe there's something we're not seeing.
I mean? Here's like,
they're looking at Tony Snell and seeing Michael Jordan. Like, I don't get it. What are they seeing?
I don't know.
Let me break it down.
Oh my God.
We talked in the summer. We talked in the fall about this team, bro. Oh, we're like, I don't know about the leadership on this team. Like, just don't see. I know, obviously, talent issues. They were one of the last teams to form, you know, not going to be able to get the Simpson and Beezy of the world. But, like, can this team get together and overperform? And nothing we have seen externally about this camp makes me think that there's, like, any leadership going on at the coaching level, at the player level here, and that's how situations happen like this. And I'm not surprised, because it may be a combination of, you know, maybe they have trust, they're going to try him in a different role, maybe they don't want to admit mistake in picking him up. I don't know
the
what's
guy
going
that
on.
Can't go positive when AR is running the sub, the yeah, even harder role.
It's a mind-breakingly weird decision, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
Pat, I heard that the other day too, Pat, throwing him to a sub. I said, what?
Wait, he's running a sub? Geo's an AR?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
My bad, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, man. No, you were crybaby cheesing me. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I was in, you think I was crybaby cheesing?
Hey, look, you put your hands up. You lean back. That.
They put Purge on a sub?
I was reacting to what Sam said because I was just like, bro.
I thought you were mad.
But that's just the issue with the Seattle camp. I just don't know how the four players on the roster and the two coaches are looking at this. And by the way, like, they've been scrimming this week. And, like, I don't – they're a new team, obviously, but it's – I just don't see how this is going to move the needle on them getting better. I feel like this is always a two-chain situation. If there was, you know, a player having issues with the system plus a player not performing, I don't see what one change is going to move the needle on for them. But what do we know, I guess?
Oh, it will move the needle. They're going to get worse.
I mean, I just don't understand. Why not just pull the plug on a two-person change? Just rip the Band-Aid off. Just make a two-person change. Switch up the whole flow of the team. Granted, they did have some series that they probably could have clutched up. But definitely think there was room for improvement there. And I think Attach and Nero have been playing good COD, man.
They're good players.
Like, they've been playing good. I mean, I didn't.
Terrible.
I was just going to say, I didn't have much bad to say about Eli as well. But I don't know what's going on. I know he's in the chat. I don't know if there was something going on behind the scenes. And Eli, I know you're in the chat. I gotta say this. I'm just being real. But, I mean, this is a couple teams now that Eli has been dropped from. Like, I don't know why he's getting dropped from these teams. Like, it started with Toronto.
They're the same issues, basically.
To be fair, I hate that argument. Like, I hate it so much. The mindset that if you have a guy who's playing okay on the squad and you get on, you argue with him every day. I would rather have that all day long. If I can count on a guy to do his job in the game and I have to fucking argue with him all day long,
yeah,
I'm picking it. That over a guy that's my best friend who has a 0.5.
Yeah, I agree.
People aren't built like that anymore,
Pat. I agree, Pat. Talent, Pat. You always take the more talented player. You always do at the end of the day. I feel like
people are not built like that in the league anymore.
You don't think so, Sam? I mean, you don't think no. so?
People are no. trying to keep their spots. Like, bro, there's a bottom team like this.
Dude, you got to be so careful with, like, everything team culture-wise nowadays. Like, there's some players that just, like, implode when you criticize them. Or just, like, there's just certain teams that you could just see when you, like, any sort of confrontation arises or just anything within the team, like... Mm. It's just not how it used to be, Pat. Like, you're fucking cold team. You could fucking cook each other.
No, but I even noticed that in the tail end of my career. Like, getting an argument about getting better.
Yeah.
Like, bro, if I'm yelling at you, right, because I think you did something wrong, right? I won't even say yelling, but if I'm getting heated about a play you made, yeah. It's because, like, I care, right? Like, it's a passion thing. It's like, I don't want those mistakes to occur. Exactly. I'd rather have somebody bitch at me and, like, be up in, like, arms about it, pissed as fuck that I fucked up, then just, like, oh, yeah, like, we're cool. Like,
bro, that's how my team was last year, bro. We would literally get into yelling arguments and, like, conversations so loud the whole fucking compound could hear. But as soon as we step out that door, we're still yellers, bro.
I've teamed with Lamar and Don, fucking the FaZe boys, like, Crowder was that, a yeller.
Like, as soon as that practice environment ends, like, we're all still boys. It's just like,
about getting better. There's a lot of people that can't handle that shit. And, like, and dude, Listen, I'm not an angel. I definitely have gone over the top. But at the same time, there's been times where I've genuinely felt like I've killed somebody's confidence. Where, like, I will straight up say this, Chris. I swear to God.
If I'm playing with somebody whose confidence is going to get killed over an argument of an in-game situation, I don't want to play with them anyway.
Like, that's the way I see it too.
Like, if my teammate's confidence gets completely broken because we have a team argument about a play, then I don't want to be on that squad. Like, period.
But the crazy thing is, though, is, like, their confidence will, like, get killed, and you can tell they're just overthinking everything, and, like, it's like almost like they just start getting nervous, like, when playing with you because they don't want to make mistakes. But then, like, after the game, they'll go and, like, bitch about you to, like, other people in terms of, like, your attitude or whatever and stuff like that, when in reality, like, it's you literally just care. Yeah, maybe there's ways to get over the top there. You definitely can be a little bit too much, but like,
bro,
at the end of the day, bro, like, it's just
if you lose confidence because your teammate's yelling at you, what happens fucking game five, round 11 at champs? Like,
you don't get to the game five round 11.
No, but I'm saying, like, if I can't trust you to maintain confidence in an argument,
you yelling at people on stage and shit.
No, in scrims. I'm talking about in scrims.
I thought you said what happens at champs. Like, you gotta yell at champs.
No, I'm saying what happens at champs, like, if I need you to be the most confident player. Like, game 5, round 11, like, you gotta be the most confident guy in the venue.
That was the only thing I hated, Pat. The only time I hated screaming in the middle of, like, big moments of a match.
I'm strictly talking about practices. Like, in practice, bro. Yeah, I want everybody getting heated in practice. I want everybody wanting to get better. I want us getting mad if we're making mistakes. I want everyone being if like someone's sitting in quiet in the corner while the team is like discussing a play, like, I hate that. Like, I want everybody involved giving their opinion, showing that they care to get better, to improve.
Bro,
if you're just gonna sit there and lose confidence because you're being judged for a bad play, like,
I used to play with people in the pro league and
you're already set up for failure.
That, like, we would be going over VOD or like going over setups or like strategy right in a game. And then I would like ask them like, "Yo, what did I just say?" or like something like that, and people would genuinely just like not know. They were just tuned out, and that shit is just insane to me that people literally acted that way or just couldn't like maintain that level of focus for their job or like a passion that they obviously care about to a degree.
But this is my point. I don't think the CDL is full of winners anymore. Like, just natural people who want to win. And this goes back to Sam's point of like how the teams are structured now. I just feel like everyone's wanting to have fun, get on every day, have an enjoyable time, get paid, and go do something else.
Really? I feel like everybody's miserable.
And the reason, I'm not saying everybody, I'm saying majority. Obviously not every team. There's obviously a reason why there's four teams capable of winning and everyone else. But for a majority of the league, I believe that's the case. Because think about it this way. Look at how the prize pool structure is broken down. Like, if you're not placing top four, you don't make any money from prize pool. So you're literally just basically, and I know you make a little bit, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not making money worth like talking about.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who have just wrote off their team and they want to get on and just have an enjoyable experience, right? Whatever you call that, just a relaxing scrim 6 hours and get off. And just get paid and keep it moving. And that hopefully maybe get on a better team.
Go ahead, man.
But that's what I think. I don't think the league's full of winners.
I agree with Pat. I think franchising has created some bad situations. To Pat's point, people that aren't on the book championships contenders lack culture, right? Because the players aren't bringing culture. You would think the coaching staffs would help resolve some.
Might be fucking worse.
Bro, that's what I'm getting to. I've talked to probably seven.
Oh,
bro, it's actually
they absolutely are. And most of them haven't played.
Bro, the number of players I have talked to in the last 5 years, it probably count on two hands. Like, there's not three people. Sam, you probably agree. And they come and we talk to them, you know, after the season about their team situation. And I say, look, like, talk about systemic issues they're having behind the scenes. I'm like, where are the coaches? Coaches are nowhere to be found. I'm mind blown at the lack of culture. I get it's hard if you're not Optic or FaZe or Toronto or New York every year where there is a talent gap, but at least try to overperform your team. No one's pitching in on that.
But
franchising this fucking like security barrier that literally just keeps some of these players and some of these teams and the way they act in the league is like, it's so like under talked about. Like, if there was no, like, if people actually had to qualify, obviously, like, this is different because there's franchising and people, like, there's actual organizations that like paid to be in the league, et cetera, et cetera. But if there was actually qualifications and relegations and stuff like that, that would elevate the competition on every single level, because not only would amateurs feel way more motivated to like try as
fucking
much
jobs
as they possibly could to get into the pro league, etc., but it would also motivate the bottom teams to figure their shit out or proactively make changes that are actually going to move the needle, because otherwise they're going to lose their spots in their leagues, at their events, etc., and they're not going to be able to do what they do full time.
That's why we need to go back to something similar to what we had in the CWL, because there's accountability there on bad teams, bro. If you're a bad team at the beginning of the year, even if everybody was getting paid $7,000 a month, if you didn't qualify for the pro league, you sucked. Like, now it's like, well, everybody's making a nice minimum check to get 12th, so be it. Enjoy your vacation in Cancun instead of going to champs in Vegas. Like, we'll try again in fucking October. It's like, now there's just too much complacency, and I get it, bro. like maybe we're overgeneralizing. You know, people still want to win. They still want to go hard.
We're not overgeneralizing.
So many of these teams, I'm just tired every season. Yeah. I talk to people.
I also feel
and
like
they complain our team culture was fucked since January.
I feel like it's there's like, also players from the other side too that aren't complacent, but maybe their teammates are, and they're in like systems or situations where they're losing full too. Like I feel like that's got to be happening as well. Where
and they
just
can't do anything about it because on a and Sam will agree on a lot of these teams because you hear from people the coaches don't do anything.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I'm going to get some DMs now from some coaches. Same ones that always DM me when they're pissed, but they will never say it publicly, like, and complain about this. But I hear it from all the players that get dropped from these teams every year, year in, year out, about the same shit. Like, I'm tired of hearing about it, bro.
Yeah, no
one wants
I
to step
agree.
Up to the plate.
No,
I don't know how the owners let them get away with this, bro.
I don't know if it's like a thing where like maybe.
Half
like
the owners are coaches, clueless.
I don't know if it's a thing where they're clueless, bro. Coaches are maybe afraid to lose their jobs, but like, bro, if I was a coach, and listen, I'm not sitting here making propaganda. This isn't propaganda. I'm just telling you how it is. And this is how I was as a player, and I basically kind of coached when I played in a way. So I'm not bullshitting. Like, I've done this to people. Bro, if people were not being accountable or like going hard in VOD and stuff like that, or just like not receptive to changes, bro, I would be fucking frying my teammates as a coach. I would be frying them, bro. If so yeah. be it. If like there was an agenda to get me out, but I would literally be cooking people. I've been on teams where there was whenever in Cold War, for example, when I was on the Ravens or whatever, and I was filling in for Trey, the way like. And I'm not taking shots at the coaches, and I get why, like, you know, some people act this way or like they're maybe taking a little bit more of a respectable approach, but they would kind of pull people to the side and like they would have conversations, but a lot of them were kind of more like nicer, and then some of them were kind of just like way more patient. But like to a degree, bro, I would almost have rather them just getting like roasting the person, like the player that was the problem. Like, well, fuck this nice approach. A lot of people are just not receptive to it, and like people need to know you mean business and you need to be able to change, because this whole fucking just like you're babying fucking people. We're grown-ass fucking men that play this league.
Hold on, you, to be fair, not everybody responds to criticism in the same way, and if you were in a position,
ain't that the damn truth,
where you are a man, you know what, we doesn't even talk about coaching, right? Let's say you're in a business and you're a middle manager, you got to know how to motivate the people that report into you. Whether
yeah,
you're a
coach,
you
can take certain approaches, but after
a
while,
sticks not always going to work though. Like,
bro, after
you got to figure
while,
it out.
Yeah, but I also hate that thinking though, Ben, because you get to pick who's on your team.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but you don't like you don't. That's not a question. That's not an interview question in the offseason, though. You're not like, if I cook you for not rotating, what's your response?
I 100%, when I made roster changes, considered decisions of players based on like their mentality toward
which is totally
competitive,
fair.
Toward competition, totally toward and, winning, toward all that shit.
Yeah,
like that
was,
shit matters.
I, was gonna say, bro,
I didn't want to
like,
play with someone who I thought was like going to break
on.
Down.
The chat's calling me soft chat. I'm just trying to tell you that like you're just going to be in a situation in the CDL. You're going to have people on your team that are not going to just respond.
You're right in the sense that those people exist. There's no doubt about
it.
And this is in life for sure. Like if in a working environment, absolutely. But we're talking about a competitive team. There's only one goal and it's winning. You get to pick who's on your team as well. So it's like, I don't like that. I don't like that comparison to sports or anything, any competitions. To the same thing as like a working corporate environment where it's like, different people respond to different levels of criticism. You have to talk to people differently, treat people differently. In the real world, it's a real thing. But in sports, in competition, like
it's even worse.
Everyone,
I feel like in sports.
Yeah, no, but everyone has to be like at that level.
Everyone has to be mentally tough.
And if you're not, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be.
Listen, bro, that's the issue right now.
I agree.
Not
but
everybody is at that level.
I agree with you. And I'm you like, see this. You see this. You see this in pro sports.
They're not good enough to act this way.
You see this in pro sports all the time, where like you get insights about you know what's going on in a locker room. Like it's all the same shit.
Here's what's happening, Chris. Because listen, like I just think people, young players are coming in to these dysfunctional culture, these dysfunctional teams, and they don't have any tools. They are completely raw. They are moldable clay. And they are not being set up for success on some of these squads.
Okay, I will argue.
It is
this
most tragic shit of all time.
I will argue outside of Scrappy being just naturally talented. part of his success instantly coming into the league was his mindset. I will 100% say that over I'd say 70% of his success was his mindset. 30% was his talent.
I agree. But what I was saying, Ben, is this: a lot of these problems that come in from like people, let's say, getting dropped or like team culture issues usually aren't from like the new guys. It's not from the amateurs that get brought in. A lot of it stems from the older, more experienced heads because they obviously have been a part of multiple teams, and it's how they all have their one idea of how they want to run a team, etc. That is not on like the newer players. It's on the coaching staff and the veterans. But again, what Pat said, bro, people are just fucking soft, and they need to be mentally fucking tough. And if they can't handle the shit, unless they're the world's best players in the world, right? I'm not talking about people like Abizi and fucking like Selyem and stuff like that. Obviously, like, you take different approaches when talking about players that are literally winners, right? They already have that winning mentality. But when it's like the lower tier of the league, when it's like people that are borderline even good enough to be in the fucking league, yes, take those approaches where you are like, you're a little bit nicer, you're a little bit more patient. Let them, you know, let them settle, see how it figures. But once you get to a point, bro, people need to be held accountable, and you gotta be hard on these people. And if they can't handle it, that's a sink or swim moment. Yeah. Get them the fuck out.
Look at the greatest legends in like all of sports.
They're
obsessed. They're borderline sociopaths. They're maniacs. Like, you have to have a certain mindset. If your goal is winning and strictly winning, and that's all you care about, you have to think about shit differently.
Yeah,
like,
Pat, it's just a fact. I hate that comparison, though, Pat, is because not everybody can be that player. Like, not everybody can be Michael Jordan. Not everybody can be Kobe. Like, bro,
everyone should be striving for that, Tom. It's not about necessarily being it. No. That's
obviously. What if all four people on the team are just completely screaming at each other? It will ruin some environments and make it bad.
A few weeks ago on the show, it's like people talk about Mamba mentality, MJ mentality, but like, we were talking about people practicing in that break, you know, the mid stage one break, like they weren't maximizing that time. Like, people want to have this, but because they have the safety of their check, like, they're willing to not give 110%. Meanwhile, you know, the top teams are top teams every year, give 110%. Yeah, they're talented, but there's a reason that their valleys, when those teams struggle, they get out of the valley quickly.
I mean, listen, if a player, and I just want to make this clear, like, if a player is making mistakes in game and they're getting yelled at for mistakes they're making and they're getting hounded on, if a player shuts down, just making mistake after mistake after mistake, and is not taking accountability for the mistakes, or like just completely just ignoring everything, like, bro, that's a problem. Like, that's a serious problem. Like, I agree on the mental aspect. Let me ask you this question.
Real quick, Pat, because I just want to add to Tom's thoughts. And I won't speak in specifics because for the sake of the players I've talked to about this. But, like, I have talked to a number of players over the last 5 years where they have felt like their team environment was not positive, and then they reach out to the coaching staff to help address that, to do side work, and the coaches basically accepted they were going to drop that player and basically just like kind of egoed them. So like, that's my point. Like, these team environments, these cultures are completely and utterly fucked up.
That happened
to the core. Yes, I probably named four or five different situations.
I also think it's a maturity thing. Like, we should be able, all four of us on the squad, to argue in a scrim, get mad at each other.
You're professionals. That's part of being a
professional. And then when scrims are done, go get dinner and be cool, because we're out of the game.
Just never leave the room.
It should never leave the scrim, like, ever. And that's just reality. That's how you should think about it. And I guess I would say this, and I'll ask you guys this question. Do you respect a player more who, let's say you call him out on a play, right? And you're giving examples, whatever. And you're, let's say you're flustered or mad or whatever. Their reaction is to argue back with you about that play, why they don't think it's wrong or whatever.
I'm asking you
what you respect more, Tom.
That.
Someone who will at least argue their POV and argue and get passionate and riled up about it, or just be like, all right, and just get quiet and like shut down and hardly call out.
I thought
the rest
you were talking about accountability.
No. I'm asking what you respect more, like, from a personality standpoint. Right. Like,
depends how they take the criticism. If they're going to shut down and be like, whatever, buy into the system, that's like,
it goes both ways. Dude, if someone just gets hyped and it shows me their passion, shows me they care, wants to figure out the best play, maybe they just genuinely think I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong, right? Like, that's possible.
This way is never wrong.
Not me, but it's possible that the person arguing is wrong. Yeah, but it's possible the person's wrong, and like, it's
Pat,
like, maybe they correct you. It's like,
Wait,
but they care
Pat,
enough.
Have you ever had a teammate that was so hard-headed, they never even, you would say something to them and they wouldn't even like listen to you. They wouldn't even like, they go through one ear out the other.
I've had examples
that
of that.
That was the worst. That's what I'm talking about.
Me and Krim would do this all the time. We'd agree like half the time and we disagree half the time. Same thing with Austin. We'd agree half the time and disagree half the time. In my opinion, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I can live with that because I know at the end of the day, I'm going to show up to the event and that guy's going to fucking fry and do his role.
Dude, I'm actually having nightmares because you guys just reminded me of something, and I'm sure you guys have gone through it. If you're at a teammate that whenever you brought up a play, right, and you want to have a discussion about it, instead of them, like, talking about the play and discussing the play with you, they deflected and they were like, yeah, but you did this play on this scenario. Yeah.
That's annoying.
Rejection, baby.
And well, that's outside of the game. You know what's crazy? They would never brought that up.
No, that's always my point.
Bring
my,
anything up to them about
that's always my response. Shit. It's like, why the fuck didn't you bring it up when I made that play then? Like,
people holding
ammo to wait to when they make a fuck up to bring up a fuck up you made 5 days ago that they didn't even bring up. Like,
Somebody in chat,
leave the lobby. Let me get somebody else.
Somebody in chat, his name's Triv. He said there's a difference in criticism and belittling someone. If someone can't take criticism, that's a bad attitude.
Sure. But that's true. Like,
that's true.
But like, dude, there might be
You gotta show respect to your teammates,
There might be 5% of those situations that ever get like that heated that it ever becomes personal. It never should, but I think that's an exaggeration because it rarely does. And I would also say, like, back in the day, it definitely happened, but it didn't happen on like a serious level where you like truly believed that way about somebody. And like after the match, you guys continued that fucking fight, right? Yeah. Like it was very quickly scrapped and like a heat of the moment situation. But I agree with you, Tom. Like, belittling, that's not the way to get shit done.
Yeah, I just want
to
make that's what we mean when
yeah, no, we're just talking about like heated arguments in the moment.
If somebody's just like not respecting you or not respecting your teammates and just being disrespectful, that's just gonna cause problems within the team. That's just gonna cause problems and issues. Like, that's a whole different thing. That's just personal issues and other shit that be going on. But I mean, for the most part, bro, if you're not talking, I want to move on because we've been going in circles about this conversation.
Can I ask
go ahead.
I want to move the topic slightly, Tom, because I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Right, to this point about the Geo thing, Stanley went on stream and he didn't really he kind of addressed it, but didn't address it. Do you guys think when players get dropped off of like mixy situations like this, they should do a better job of really kind of explaining their POV so their story's out there and they're not kind of like just sort of dealing with the rumors and all this stuff? Like, they just kind of controlled the
narrative. Well, I feel like that's what Standy did. I mean, didn't Standy go on stream and said, I definitely had moments where I was annoyed when we lost or went crazy and said some crazy shit, you know?
Wait, hold on. What was Ben's question?
Dude, do you think players don't control the narrative enough when they get robbed? They just sit there and just accept
it. No, but that's the thing, bro. Like, sometimes, like, if you end up doing that, like, you just hurt your, like, people just, like, think you're, like, trying to, like, talk shit about someone that, like, about, like, the team because they dropped you. Like, there's always that double-edged sword where, like, maybe you are in the right and maybe you definitely were done wrong and, like, you probably don't deserve the treatment. But, like, if you go sometimes you're just going to be looked at as a bad guy, bro. There's no point.
When we dropped Clay for Damon and Clay made a YouTube video? Do y'all remember that?
That's a good video.
Just 20 minutes of just spewing pure bullshit, controlling the narrative, and I'm like,
all right, bro. If you let the public run with like a dog shit narrative about you, it's just as much your fault if you're not going to correct them.
You're always allowed to say whatever the fuck you want.
People are using Dashy as like an example, but that's fucking Dashy, bro. It's different, right? Obviously, that guy has incredible amounts of support and fans from like all sorts of aspects of gaming, not just the green wall, just in general COD fans. Like, it's different when you're like a smaller player. Like, obviously, no offense to Eli, and obviously, like, it's obvious fucking Dashy's, like, huge. But you get the fucking point. Come on, guys. I mean, he's got to be smarter than that. You can't compare Dashy to Standy in this scenario.
I mean, Eli's a good player, too. I feel like...
What did Eli even do? I saw one Twitch clip where he was like, I like those guys, but fuck them. Like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I don't think... Nobody was saying anything negative about it. I feel like a lot of people were supporting Standy. I don't think I saw a lot of hate towards Standy's way for saying what he said. I mean, I remember Standy saying that he pretty much was tweaking from time to time, or because sometimes things go wrong, and he was getting frustrated.
If I'm Standy, like, I would have been like, look, I don't even care that I got dropped. How the fuck is Purge on the team? That's what I would have been saying if I'm Standy.
Standy,
I would have been mind blown.
That was awkward. It was a bad thing I said that.
Yeah, I would have been like, disrespected that I got dropped before that guy.
You went on, Standy put in quotes, you went on stream saying fuck us is like what I'm supposed to say. Yeah, bro, good move. Okay, so I guess Eli was getting some chirps. What, from past teammates, Eli? What about you chirping?
He got dropped, bro.
I mean, bro, you get dropped, bro.
Think about this. His ex-teammates were that soft. Did they talk to him about what he said after they dropped him?
Yeah.
Shit, no, bro, you might be better off.
Unless Eli said some crazy shit.
Is Eli still signed? Like, is he a substitute? Or did he get dropped? If he got dropped, and they're, like, going out.
It's Vegas. He probably got dropped.
Yeah,
they're not gonna pay that money.
They're never gonna fucking tweet out. They'll do some AI generated fucking image thinking.
Bro, Jesus Christ, it's little crazy. What Eli did is not worse than like people that got dropped or people that are like substitutes, literally preying on their team's downfall. You ever see that where like a team loses and like their substitute or like a player that was on their team tweets out some sly shit?
Yeah,
about
it's
their
like
loss?
A GIF.
Well, I mean, that's just what's gonna happen too, and then it'll end up in a he said she said. Both parties will be yelling at each other. The player that got dropped is gonna be saying some shit, and the team's gonna be saying some shit, and it's gonna be like, who do you believe? Who do you not believe? Just a whole bunch of bullshit. But what do you guys think about Gio?
I don't know shit about him.
I think Gio is.
I like him. He played for FaZe Black, and I lost him the next day.
The problem is, Tom, this is a dysfunctional franchise. The only time this franchise was somewhat functional was last year, and even then, they didn't qualify for champs. I think Gio's going to come in. They're still going to struggle. They're still going to get slammed. They'll probably get reverse swept like two more times a stage.
And
I don't think they're going to make it to champs. And honestly, hopefully this is the last year I got to talk about fucking Vegas and Paris Legion. I'm tired of talking about this.
I'm sure this guy
doesn't amount to anything, bro. Ever.
I'm sure this guy is solid. He's probably a good player. But if I don't know. What team? Did he come from FaZe Black?
Yeah.
No, he came from FaZe Black for a second.
He was on FaZe Black for one day, Slay. I lost him.
He came from the team that got second at champs and then joined FaZe Black and then joined the or not champs, what am I saying, at Boston.
If I'm him, I would have been wanting to bring a duo along.
Hey, you join FaZe Black, you go into the league, Slay. You join FaZe Black, you go into the league.
Oh, my God. Tom's 100% from the field.
100%. Zuma.gg, go get your FC Black jersey, put that jersey on. Gives you more aim assist.
Oh, you might have to make like a multicolored FaZe squad just to start running into the league.
We got the FaZe Academy too. You see the FaZe Academy, the U18 Academy team we have.
Oh, is that the under-18 guys?
Yeah, those guys are gross, bro. Those UA, those they're like 16 and 17, all of them. They're all just young as fuck. They're just straight shooters. But yeah, definitely. I think Gio's a good player. Anybody else have anything to say on this? Chris, I know you know Gio a little bit.
I think Gio's actually really, really, really good.
I thought it was a good pickup from Vegas.
I'm just afraid that now with like the wrong guy. Like, listen, for all we know, maybe Purge, you know, brings it back and he ends up playing way better.
Recycled.
And you know, they end up making a great change. But I just don't have faith. Like, it's not like we're talking about somebody that was playing under, like, you know, they were playing average or like they weren't playing the greatest. And you know, they're expected to make a turnaround. No, we're expecting Purge with this move to potentially make a incredible turnaround, and I don't see that fucking happening.
I hope he does. I genuinely hope. Yeah, I hope too. He watches this show and gets motivated and wants to just come out and fucking world star and actually do it. I hope that happens, but listen, I just don't see that being reality.
Vegas has probably one of the best schedule, right? Easiest split of anybody in the league. It gets really hard after this, mind you. Like, this is the split where they got to get points because this is what they have in this order. LAG, Miami, Toronto, Boston, Thieves, Seattle, Carolina. No Optic, no FaZe, no New York. They play those teams the next two stages. Their next two stages are incredibly difficult after this. But, like, I'm not going to fall for the trap if this team gets 3 or 4 wins against these teams just to get, like, maybe top 8 or top 6 at the next event, because Major 3 and 4 they're gonna get slammed. Like,
I guess a question I do have though, because part of this Vegas team's like glaring issues were like they were the least clutch team I've ever seen in my life, right?
It was LAG, but this team couldn't win a fucking control until.
But they were also just not clutch. Like Game 5, they were not clutch at all.
Yeah, they were having
and they also got reverse swept all the time, and like. So I guess what my question
three times
is like
in one stage pad three.
No. So that's my question is like, does Geo fix this, like, the fact that they're the least clutch team ever? Like, does a rookie coming out of Challengers fix that issue?
No, it's a culture thing determined. With the team, and it's not going to change because we know, listen, it's just not going to change, bro. Unless somehow he gets a magical stroke of form and they pull up one weekend, they're all the best players of all time, and it just all clicks, and they win 11 searches in a row. This team's going to be nothing, bro. Zero. Not a zilch.
Yeah. Finito. Finished. Let's move on. Yeah, Ben does hate Vegas. I actually think I just think they made the change for the wrong person.
I actually think they brought Gio in, maybe brought in another player,
like another submachine gun players, a few players they could have gotten. I think this team has a good shot at contending.
I hate this franchise because it's everything that is wrong with this era of esports. Like no engagement, no sponsors, no brand building, terrible decisions, dysfunctional culture. They've made it to like one final ever in 5 years and was online. Like. They are everything that's wrong about this franchise era of esports that we're in. And I will be so happy when these guys are fucking gone.
Damn.
Dude, you've gone further than just the COD team right now. You're in the management, marketing, communications, PR.
He wants them to fail.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that much passion here.
I'm just over this shit, bro. I'm just over it.
You know what I mean? They've had closed games. I just feel like they're...
The best team they had was last year. And if they had given that team last year resources, gave them a facility... Maybe those guys get a couple extra points online. They make it a chance, and who knows?
I didn't even think the team that they had was terrible. I just, they just needed to make a few different decisions. Like, I thought that, like, picking up Nero, like, attached, like, even standing, I thought that was solid. I think they could have worked with that. Like, I'm almost like being one, like, good piece away. Not like an average piece, but like a good piece away. Someone that maybe has a little more experience, that's clutch, that's got a different mentality. Like, I mean, you can't fix the coaching and management issues. I think, you know, we already know what exists there, but
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't think they were that far off in this roster change period.
Well, let's move
here. I'm fixing my light because it like fell off.
You're good, bro. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. Let's go over to the Seattle Surge. Illy has been removed from the roster and Brezzy.
Bro, we don't know that. They didn't say that.
I didn't say that yet.
No, they didn't say shit about it.
Oh, fuck.
They didn't say shit.
Well, I'm pretty sure Illy is being removed from the roster.
Highly rumored, but Seattle is being
rumored. Highly rumored that Illy is being removed from the roster. I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure it's Illy.
I'm not saying, like, you leaked it. I'm saying, like, Seattle ain't even acknowledging that, like, it was not on the team.
I just don't think they want to listen. I don't know what's up with Ender once again, like being in these weird situations where they want to talk about it. But
yeah
that's well, everyone behind the scenes, everything we've heard is that this is not for Ella getting dropped or Boozy getting dropped. This is for something going on with Ender, and they're bringing in a replacement. For
I mean, bro,
yeah, he could still be a substitute. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Ever since that interview, I feel like the whole league hasn't acknowledged Ender. The team, the league.
I mean, they're going to do everything they can.
Twitter?
And I say it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to do everything in their power to not acknowledge that situation, bro. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing else more to say, but yeah, I mean, if you guys don't know Brezzy, he's been around for a minute. I think really started playing international.
Wait, Ben, what happened to your mic?
What happened to my mic?
He sounds different, right?
Dude, it sounds like you're pinching your nose in my ear.
Wait, talk, Ben, talk.
Is it better now or is it still?
Oh, it's better now, I think.
It's better.
All right, well, I don't know what's up with that, but yeah, no. So just to give some background on Brezzy, like he's been around for a minute, played in Black Ops 4, probably his like breakthrough game as far as playing like pro stuff. I think he made the league that year with the Whalers and them. They were like a bottom-ish league team that year, but they were around. Then he was on the Vegas original Paris Legion squad and didn't get a starting roster. He rode the bench all year. Then he was in Challengers last couple of years. He was on that really good Texas Nation team for a while. He's just been in sort of in the wilderness. Last year was probably his best Challengers year. Played with Cobra, Linz, and Abuza, and they actually won the Toronto Open last year. So he won a LAN event in Challengers last year. So I'm not surprised he's getting picked up. He was playing solid last year. He's obviously got chemistry with Abuza. The question for me with Brezzy, I don't know if you guys have heard.
The Wobble Bobs.
Is he here in North America right now, or is he in Europe?
He was in Europe. They're going to have to get him over.
Hold on.
How are they getting, like, think about this. The Real has got to be mind-blown.
Mind-blown.
Like, he's watching all the
He's just watching these fucking people come in the league getting visas, and he's just like,
You yeah, get like, a visa. You get
yeah. Nah, he's got to be fucking losing composure, bro, looking at this shit. I mean, Bresi's definitely a good player, and I think... So, was Chris, he was a part of the original Awababobs, right?
Yeah, he was on the Awababobs.
So, but people are saying the only person who hasn't been picked up from the Awababobs is Cobra. He's the missing Cobra. Piece. He's the last one. And I know his name was being thrown around with LA Thieves. Cobra's right, name yep. was being thrown around. Is there yep. a scenario where you see Cobra go to this roster at the at the Seattle Surge?
I mean,
let's go full French.
Maybe. You know what's crazy, though?
Full French team.
This almost this pretty much like solidifies that Abuza's staying on the sub, because I'm pretty sure like
that's a horrible fucking change.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty sure he's a main. He's a not main, but he's
like, didn't Bresi ran a didn't he run a sub in BO4 though?
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure he's an AR, and he's been an AR for like the last couple of games. I think Cobra.
I mean, if they're not dropping Alec, then I expect Abuza stays.
I thought Cobra and Linz were their subs in Awababobs. Maybe chat can correct me, but I think he's I think he runs currently flex, yapping. Maybe. So.
Yeah, the well, chat's yapping right now.
Cobra was, okay, you see Cobra my picture?
Chat's saying he's SMG. Okay, well, if chat's saying he's SMG, then maybe he does go back to an AR. I could be wrong, so.
He should go back
hopefully
to an
I'm
AR.
Wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Well, so, I
think they're
going to
run it with this roster, and if it doesn't work, they'll probably make another change.
I mean, listen, so Seattle, right, last split, like, great search team, but the respawns were a problem, and once you got rid of Terminal Hardpoint, like, you know, and you played them on some other maps. Yeah, it was tough. And now that you've removed the best player from the team, like, I don't see how they continue to play an elite S&D level because of how much Ender was contributing to that.
Yeah.
And then the respawns. I think actually
this
right
team might
now,
be bottom
player,
four, bro.
Bro, if Alec can step up on this team, that might cover some of the slaying the loot they're losing with Ender coming out. Like, try to adjust this with Bresi. But I don't know, man. This split might be real rough for Seattle.
This team
right
sucks.
Now.
Damn, Sam, you're not a fan, Sam?
No, bro, this team sucks. They got rid of their best player. They're going to get way worse at the only redeeming game mode that they had, and this team sucks.
So, and
Abuz is still running a sub.
I don't even mind this pickup either.
I don't think he is.
Nah, Bresi's a good pickup.
Bresi is a sub, so I think we should be okay in that front.
If he runs a sub, then I'll be happy.
Well, then, I mean, like, if that's the case, then why not just keep Ender and get rid of Alec?
Ender's got to be an out. It's got to be an out of game thing,
bro.
Yeah, don't have to tell you about that one, Pat.
Listen, it could be a million out of game things. If the guy stops saying yo 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 in front of all his callouts, I'm good. Like, he's putting up numbers on the squad. That's all I need right now, because that's what this squad desperately needs is some damn kills.
Either way, bro, it's not a performance thing, bro. There's no way it's a fucking performance thing.
It's not.
If it's a performance thing, I'll literally fold myself
in
half
the team's got to lock in, bro, because it's been GA breaking issues. I've heard they're not blacklisted anymore. They got to lock in and grind, because like they got a decent amount of points. This team should be in a position.
How do you even do that?
You gotta break your ribs and fold yourself in half.
Bro, go ahead, man. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry about these morons.
This episode is godlike.
Go ahead, man.
This episode is the all-timer.
Team needs to lock in, because they should make champs. Let's say some miraculously blow a 40 CDL fucking point lead.
This team sucks, Ben.
But they're not. This team is not going to be good enough to beat the Optic FaZe in Toronto the World. We saw that last split.
Won't even beat fucking LAG or Minnesota, bro.
I think they're going to really struggle this stage.
Listen. For all we know, Listen. I'm not a fan of the move, but I'm not going to like sit there and be like, wow, they're the worst. Like, they were not.
I don't think they're the worst, but I think they suck.
If Bresi runs a sub and he's a good sub, like, that could pair well with Hook.
Prolu said he runs an AR. He ran an AR major one.
Yeah, major one. But people are saying he's going to run a sub. Either way. Okay. And if Abuza is just fucking Pope on the AR, like, and Alec isn't just fucking getting.
That's you just said six what ifs.
Well, I know, yeah, listen, but I'm saying, like, the changes all can, like, they can all, like, you know, come together at the end of the day.
Yeah, the stars will align.
Maybe I'll break my ribs, fold myself in half, and
we're going to find out very quickly, because two of the three first three matches are New York and Toronto.
Hold on, I need to say something real quick, Ben.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the chat, I saw, obviously, there's a lot of yapping, but before all that, I obviously said that I would rather have Ender on my squad because he's actually going to perform. And I'm just going to address this now just to get it out of the way. Like, regardless of the accusations currently against Ender, you might as well, and I'm telling you this honestly, you might as well accuse 80% of the league for the exact same shit. So just to keep it clear, the absolute truth, if I'm on a squad, yes, I want Ender on my team other than someone putting up a 0.5. Just a fact.
My fault.
My fault.
Just 80% of
the league. Just keeping it clear.
My fault, 80%. Yes, yeah, my fault, 80% of the league.
At least.
Yeah, I was curious. Didn't somebody tweet something about a drug testing thing and how the drug testing, it says if it's in your system, but not how much you took? Or is that, did you guys read that? I think
it was Denza who said
that.
The
drug testing system is,
I'm pretty sure it was Denza.
And I know a little bit about it because
I actually, no bullshit, had no idea they couldn't test for how much. And I was doing the drug test.
Whenever I was on the Decimate team and they qualified for the Pro-Am, they got drug tested. And like, where they said they were like, they could be drug tested. And they basically like explained it to us, and it gets to a point where as long as you have a script, they won't care. And like, they, even if you don't, let's say you get caught and you don't have a script, they're not going to do anything to you right away. They'll give you time to come back with a script, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know how true that is. That's a pretty crazy thing to say.
When did that start? What the guy told me.
Sam, when did the actual...
I'm just saying, I don't know if that's true or not.
When did the actual drug testing start, Sam? Because it was in the contract from the beginning, yeah. But none of it did not happen once in 2019.
I think Vanguard, for the first year. Vanguard was the first year I got actual drug testing.
So for the first 2 years, they didn't do anything, but it was in the CDL contract?
I think so.
Well,
yeah,
so
I'm pretty sure Vanguard was the first year I got drug tested.
It's Vanguard Major 1. Because Cold War, remember, we didn't have lands until the end of that. Like they were.
What'd they do? You had a pee in a bottle?
Nah, it's like an oral thing.
What?
Yeah, so it's like a little swab. You like fucking saliva test that shit.
Okay. Saliva and shit, like the Q-tips.
Yeah, you gotta sit there. It tastes like my ass. Hate that shit. You gotta sit there for like 15 fucking minutes with that shit. Dude.
Yeah. No, that shit.
Wait, was it worse than the COVID test?
Yeah, bro. That shit. It actually tastes like battery acid.
I didn't think the COVID test was that bad, but maybe because I got a big nose, I didn't feel it in there.
Wait, which one did you do, Tom?
The one where they shove it up your nose. I didn't think it was that bad.
Like the one where they go deep, or like just the little big, like swabby one.
I don't know. I thought they were all the same. They just shoved it.
One goes deep, Tom, and one was just like a little nostril swab.
I don't know.
One of them itched my brain.
That's the deep one.
I don't know. Yeah, I've gotten that one before. It wasn't that bad, guys. It wasn't that bad. You thought it was bad?
Damn, I didn't know you
sneezed right after, bro.
Really? I didn't think it was that bad, actually. But maybe I'm just tripping. It might be the nose, man. I'm telling you, it might be the nose. Maybe I didn't even feel that shit, bro. I don't know. Or maybe I just did the other one you were talking
about.
There's
a lot of room in there, Tom. You didn't feel it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, the ratio's there. But it is what it is.
A lot of space up there.
Yeah, it is what it is, guys. It is what it is. Is there anything
else
you want to say?
Like rolling a ball down a hallway.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to say, Sam, or anybody? I'm Brezzy. Anybody? Anybody at all?
I think Brezzy's solid. I've always thought
he's solid.
Player.
So. He's a good player.
So I'll be interested to see.
He gets an opportunity now, so shout out to Brezzy, man. Excited to watch you play, see what you can do, man. And then, of course, some sad news for Pristini, as he is no longer competing in Call of Duty. He is retired from the game of COD. This is a world champion right here, folks. Obviously, this is Arcity's brother, Alex, still in the league competing, but I just think Preston's done with that challenger cycle. I just don't think he wants to be in there no more. I think he's just done with it, and he's just over with it, and he's just like, man, it's just an ongoing cycle. Probably just didn't see area where he can get back in. I mean, I could definitely see maybe one day if franchising goes away or if the league changes and it goes more to like an open pool bracket type of thing and pool plays and like something back in it. Like it was back in the day where more organizations are in and, you know, more players can play. But as of right now, I just think he's just out. He's out, bro. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And obviously, I just wanted to show some love to Preston because he was a great player and he's a great dude. And and hopefully maybe one day we see him come back. So shout out to Preston, man. Shout out to Preston. I'm sure he'll still be playing maybe from time to time and live streaming. Not really too sure what he's doing next, but... good luck to him until whatever.
Don't forget, guys. Embo's also retired.
Yeah, guys. Embo's also retired. Embo's also retired. Yeah.
Post weed that he retired. Like.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys.
After 10 years, he had to make sure he announced the official retirement.
To log back in, you know.
Did he delete his retirement? I think he deleted it. Oh, no, here it is.
That tweet's probably still there. But yeah, I mean, Preston had a great career. You know, obviously, that United stint that he had going all the way back towards, you know, 2017 Atlanta when, you know, him, him, Alec, and Pierce got on the scene. You know, they were team with Sully, who had been around for a while, but that was their breakthrough thing. And from there, you know, he was on United for a minute, and they were a very, very good team. Won a bunch of chips, culminating in obviously winning the last champs for the CDL.
Look at a second tweet, Tom.
Yes, it's a good response for Bose, bro.
He said, "What a career!" The second tweet, the one up here.
What a fucking career!
Yeah, he's too funny, bro. Yeah. He's too funny.
But, absurd routes today, in your honor.
Nah, I seen this one. I was playing rank play with Bose, and I agree with him on this, bro. Everybody's cheating, bro. I don't give a fuck, bro. Everybody's cheating. Until I see it on land, bro. You're cheating, bro. You're cheating. I'm over
it. You're cheating, Tom.
You think I'm cheating, Chris?
Yeah.
PC COD era has been.
Are you kidding me?
Interesting to say the least.
I wish we never came to PC because it just feels so much better than console. But then I'm just gonna get hacked on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wish I never knew what the other side looked like.
And I know for a fact people are hiding it well.
Dude, consoles bliss, bro.
Consoles nowadays aren't bad.
No, they're bad, bro.
No, they're not that bad. Like, think about it this way: they're at least 120 FPS now. Like back in the day, we were 60 strictly.
The amount of times I have to explain to my casual viewers in the chat that only watch ranked who I'm playing with and that they have literally competitive experience. I'll be playing with literally semi-pro players, people that were in the league before, people that are like currently like placing well at Challengers events, and they're like, "Oh, dude, I think that guy's cheating." I'm like, "No, he literally just got like fourth at the last major. Like, he's good. He's been playing for a while." And like, it's explaining it is so hard.
Tom, I actually just found a picture of you from your last COVID test. No wonder you didn't feel it, Tom. No wonder.
That's crazy. That's fucking crazy, bro. That's insane, dude. Come on, Slay. You don't got to do me like that. It's like, Jesus, fuck. Man, Slay, does my nose look like that?
Nah, only when you're a little sick, Tom. Only when you're a little sick.
Man, shit. But we got one more thing on the list, Ben. I'll let you take it away. I'm trying to open a garage, but this
is an all-time episode, bro. Yeah, this is an all-timer.
Let's look ahead a bit. So
obviously, over here, Ben.
There's been a lot of restructuring in Activision/Microsoft, whatever the fuck we're calling it these days. But you know, we're getting the point of the cycle where people are not only talking about COD 2024, but also talking about COD 2025. We've seen now over the last couple of years that the way that Activision or Call of Duty team is structuring these releases, all pretty much every studio is like pitching in on some portion of these games, but one studio is usually like a lead studio. And so currently at the point, the 2025 Call of Duty game does not have a main developer. It was meant to be Sledgehammer, but basically at the moment they really don't want to do it. So open question on who's gonna do it. Pat, I know you're obviously on the game dev side. Like, what are your thoughts on, I don't know if you read the Insider Gaming article, but it was pretty interesting on some of the inside track on how some of this is being structured for not the upcoming title, but the title after the next title.
So to my understanding, Infinity Ward and Sledge have their own titles, right, for 2026, 2027. Treyarch obviously has end of this year, 2024. Yeah. You know, I saw a lot of people in response to a lot of Twitter threads and this tweet in general talking about, like, you know, we want Treyarch to do the back-to-back. I would argue that you don't want that. Because what's going to happen is they're just going to have to split their resources. Right. And so like, you're going to basically have a diminished version of this 2024 title. And then an even, half baked version of the 2025 one. So in my opinion, like, I would want Treyarch, if I'm a COD fan, to go all out on their title and then maybe support the next title, but have another lead studio take it on.
Yeah, the article mentions that High Moon, which, you know, has
they've been recently working mostly on Warzone, though, no?
Warzone? They were working on Transformers games before all this shit. Then they were working on Warzone. Go ahead, Chris.
They're going to have a studio that's never worked on, never fully worked on a COD game, like, just take over the reins entirely of a COD game.
Yeah, but COD's this a little different, though, because all they're going to do is just take the base of whatever engine and game that they're going to take from. And I'm assuming, based on the rumors, it's going to be like basically a V2, right? How MW2 to MW3
did.
Yeah,
it's Treyarch.
I'm sure Treyarch probably will still oversee this title regardless of who the lead developer is, but, like, it's I think you overthink it when you think like High Moon wouldn't be capable. Like they're making maps, they're making UI, loadouts, guns, weapons, rig, like I don't think High Moon would be any less capable at doing what's going to be required in this
V2. The way COD works as a franchise is a mess, bro. The amount of studios and like different teams trying to add stuff to the game is crazy. Like I don't even want to know.
They basically, and I don't know your thoughts. We've talked forever about COD becoming a live service game, and it kind of has, but in a very like shoehorn way. You still got to pay $70 every year to buy a fucking game.
Oh, they have an insane live service game. They have a $70 subscription model. What do you mean?
Fucking crazy,
bro. I'm skipping COD in 2026.
We're going to extra fine in 2026.
They have people paying $70 every year plus DLC during the game. What do you, they have the craziest subscription system ever.
So. We'll see as more. I mean, this is going to probably be an ongoing story probably throughout the spring and in the summer. And, you know, if you guys don't follow Tom Henderson, the Inside Gaming guys, like they do get the inside track on the info here. So eventually we'll probably find out who's going to take the lead.
They're off. They're off sometimes, though.
Yo, Pat, your game going to be out by 2026?
Sure. 2026? That's crazy.
Is it? Is your game going to be out so I don't have to play the IW game?
Sam, just know, like, you'll have the dope that you need.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
Show, summer 2026.
Well, Pat, wasn't it discussed on a earnings call for Ubisoft that your game's got to come out by, you know, the end of quarter one? Is that true?
Yeah, that was on that was also mentioned last year. I think like two earnings calls before where they mentioned like they wanted to Ubisoft as like the HQ wanted to get XDefiant out within fiscal, their fourth quarter fiscal year, which is January to March. Or into March, sorry.
That's calling me a Fed. I'm just telling you what was discussed in Ubisoft's earnings call.
But that's been consistent messaging through multiple earnings calls.
Fair enough.
Welcome back, Zuma.
Yeah, my bad. The queen was stuck outside. The garage opener broke. It's not working.
The $70 subscription model is we're entirely free to play.
Yep. Wow. So I'm excited for this game to eventually fucking come out, so...
And I feel like you're going to be grinding. I feel like you're going to get to that point where you're like golf stream, XDefiant morning grind. Like I'm foreseeing
sounds
that
like a
now.
Vibe.
This is going to be a good mix when XDefiant comes out for sure.
Sounds like a vibe. Well, listen, Benji, why don't you sink us a putt? Because I think that was every topic we had. Unless anybody else has any final moments,
remember, remember, we're back
all the way back, all the way.
Ben, I want you to hit that motherfucker from 25.
Look at Ben's Nike shirt.
That'd be a crazy camera angle.
That's what 25. I'm saying, Pat. I want him to fucking tee up and chip from his fucking kitchen.
Will Ben sink the
just go
pole
in the hallway?
Yeah, exactly.
The pole
to fucking
is
rip
live,
a driver from
man
his bedroom into the hole.
We got to start getting him to do like trick shots, like setting up like
on top of his counter.
Like banking off like some random thing.
Yeah, you know what I said? Yo, he should open up his window and hit a driver, bro. Just drive that motherfucker just out.
Just blow out someone's window across the street.
Let it rip, baby. Just let it rip. I don't know where it'll end up, but just let it fucking rip.
Perfect cameo in Benjay's apartment.
Unless
smash the TV with a golf ball.
Oh, he's got slippers on today. This might fuck up the whole flow.
Oh, this is a miss.
Ladies and gentlemen,
slippers are a miss.
I can't even see the ball because of his mic.
Why is it blue?
Move the mic back. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's good. It's good.
Jesus.
He's gonna step up to the plate. He's got his slippers on.
He got
today
slippers on. That means an L. Slippers is a miss.
10.3 million on him making it.
Slippers
7.5 on him missing it. And
he's
misses
off
it. He goes wide right and it rolls back down.
Misses. Slippers
off
are a miss.
Balance. He was off
slippers
balance
are a miss every time. Slippers
you knew
are a miss
was
every
up
time. Slippers
oh
are a miss
man
every time.
Oh, he's going for it again.
Oh man, he's going for another one, and he missed that one as well. And he missed
oh my
that
God
one.
Slippers
no
are
redemption
a miss.
That one
every
rolled back
time
down. That was why
wait,
I left
yeah
it rolled
count
back down. Yeah, that you 0-2, man. 0-2.
No, I counted.
Not a second
it
one rolled behind
down
it. It rolled back down into
oh
it. You
that
missed
that's
it.
Never been a roll. That's
what
you missed the putt because you couldn't feel the earth beneath your feet.
No, I missed
that's
the putt.
That's
crazy. It's a long putt, and I'm lining at the end of my fucking.
You needed
mat
that shit like
right Toph
from Avatar. You needed to feel
whatever
the ball.
Okay. Fine.
That's crazy.
You needed to feel
that's
the vibrations
crazy
of your miss.
Well, let's see, guys. That's gonna do it for us today. Unless anybody has any final thoughts. Any final thoughts?
Head empty.
Phenomenal. Guys, listen, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Oh, look, we got a little special guest. Hey, what's up, buddy? All right, guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Go to anchor.fm/theflank. Check out all the other sites we're on. Go follow at the flank on Twitter. Gert's doing a phenomenal job running socials, so make sure to go follow at the flank. Go to zuma.gg. Go check out the merch. We got some more merch that's going to be dropping there, so just make sure to go and show some over there. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. As always, take care. Brush your hair, and we'll see you guys next time on another episode of The Flank, man. Take it easy, guys. Have a good one. Take it easy. Okay.